I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 58 of the TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Yushiro, coming to you live from the Goldenrod Radio Tower. And this is Puckle TCG Cast. Puckle, of course, stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name our fearless leader Thatch came up with in 2008, and we're just rolling with it. I am, of course, here to talk about World's Tournament and the new 2019 season of the TCG. And it's super exciting times. This is the restart we've all been waiting for. This is a new opportunity to make your name and your mark in the new TCG. So, without further ado, let me introduce my amazing co-host that we're going to be talking here with you guys. First, of course, some people... You wear Superman pajamas, but Superman wore Sublime Manic's pajamas. It's Sublime Manic!
And he loves them, too. Hello, how is everyone?
No, we're doing good. How about you?
Sublime.
And, of course, some say that he is the reason why Waldo is hiding. It's Scrawn!
Hey, everybody. As always, it's a pleasure to be here, my man Yushiro.
Hey, no, it's a pleasure to have you here. So, guys, we just went over Worlds. We had a great stream, by the way. Basket and myself were streaming for about 6 hours. It was a lot of fun and definitely was pretty exciting. But before we get to there, what have you guys been up to, Pokemon or otherwise? Sublime, what have you been up to?
I actually just leveled up to level 34 in Pokemon Go yesterday.
Ooh.
So that's just
pretty
happened.
Impressive, man.
Yeah, I'm still
that's
at 32.
That's higher than most people even. Hey, I'm still at 30. You guys need to...
30 is a big accomplishment, though. I was really excited when I hit 30.
Yeah.
No.
I tried going to a Sprint store and asking them for one of those special patches, but then they were like, we don't have those, but we have these stickers. Do you want some? So I got a whole bunch of Pokemon Go stickers.
That's nice.
Well, better than Sprint stickers. Yeah. It's like, this is all I got. You got like Sprint. Can you hear me now, sticker? So, speaking of Pokemon Go, I work with a lot of international sales rep in my job, my real life job, and just as an anecdote, mostly to show that you can never judge a book by its cover. So I had this one sales rep. She works from Singapore. And we've always been having a very professional, right, really work oriented. And one day, she just says, hey, do you play Pokemon Go? And she brought it up. I didn't even mention anything. I'm like, well, yes, I actually love Pokemon.
Well, yes,
it's my hobby.
I do.
I do. And she's like, well, I'm going to Australia this weekend for vacation. Do you want me to catch you some Kangaskhan? And I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, no, amazing. Thank you. And after that, right, I knew that she liked Pokemon. When we finally became friends, when the friend option came in, she sent me her friend request. She's level 39, and now she's 40. And she is a professional sales rep in Singapore, And I would have never in a million years guessed that she was such into Pokemon. It's that I learned to get the IVs, check the IVs, and put the IVs on the name. I put the name of the Pokemon and the IV next to it to know if it's a good one or not one. Like, she's totally into. So, guys, never judge a Pokemon. Pokemon is for everyone. Everyone loves Pokemon. So, let that be quite a lesson. Everyone can definitely play Pokemon, no matter the age, the level of studies, the level of professionalism. Pokemon is everywhere. So with that little snippet, let's go on and move on to the news, because there's so much to talk about. We'll be right back.
Live from the Goldenrod City Tower, it's time for Puckle News.
And we are back. It's news time, and there's a couple of things that we really need to discuss. Let's just start out, guys. Not to mention Pikachu and Sacram GX, or in general, the new GX reveal, which are called Tag Team Pokemon GX. Now, this reveal was shown to us in the World's Tournament a couple of weeks ago, and I've gotten a little bit of mixed reviews out there in the World Wide Web about how we feel about these ones.
Honestly, Jashiro, I have no idea.
Like, good thing you're listening/participating in this podcast then, because you're going to find out.
Yeah, because like tag team sounds like two Pokemon working together, right?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Okay.
Yep. So Tag Team Pokemon GX are new GX cards that are ultra, ultra powerful. They're extremely powerful, but they also have very powerful drawbacks. So let's go over the prime example and the first Tag Team card that they revealed, and that is Pikachu and Sacram GX. Now, of course, this is a very, what's the word when you have two people that are unlike to be together, but unlikely pair. There we go. That's what the phrase I was looking for.
This is an
unlikely pair. I mean, both are electric Pokemon, but one is legendary and one's the mascot for the series. So it's kind of weird, this combination here, but it is interesting. Now, this lightning card has an HP of 240. Now, this is a basic card with 240 HP. That in itself is pretty. This is Wailord level without even Wailord being an evolution. So it's pretty hardcore, the amount of HP this thing has for being a basic Pokemon. Its first attack, full blitz for 150 damage, for three lightning energies. Search your deck for up to three more lightning energies. Just three lightning energies and attach them to one of your Pokemon. It doesn't even have to be itself. It could be any Pokemon you have. Then you shuffle your deck, obviously. Then you have the GX attack. For three lightning plus Tac Bolt GX does 200 damage. If this Pokemon has at least three extra lightning energies attached to it, in addition to its attack cost, this attack does 170 more damage to one of your opponent's bench. So this has this has the opportunity to knock out two Pokemon in one go. For the just cheap cost of six lightning energies attached to it. Now, the weakness is fighting. The metal is 20, negative 20 for metal, which is basically straightforward, and the retreat cost is 3. Now, where's the drawback? You're saying, Jashir, you call about drawbacks. Well, there's one mega huge drawback, and that is that these Tag Team GX doesn't cost you 1, doesn't cost you 2, it costs you 3 prizes if they're knocked out. That's half the game right there if your opponent manages to knock out your Pikachu Sacram. So that's a huge gamble you're doing, and you're putting half your winning chances into this card. So let's discuss this for a second here. Let's start with you, Sublime. What do you think of these tag teams?
I don't want to assume if they're going to be great or not until I see more examples, right? Like, you wouldn't base all EXs on the first one you saw, because there's a huge range in how effective they are, right?
Yep.
Same for GXs. So I don't want to I don't want to jump to a conclusion about how good or bad they will be based on, just on the Zekrom on Pikachu. However, I'm kind of disappointed. Well, not disappointed, but I think it's interesting that with the introduction of GXs, they really were trying to slow down the game, and they were successful. And this has the complete opposite effect, and it will make it go lightning fast.
Pardon the pun.
So it's like, I guess we're going back to speeding the game up.
That's definitely a thing. What about you, Scrawn?
So, like, it's certainly a risk to have that extra element to it. What is its weakness, by the way? Like,
fighting. It's pretty basic.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. And I think this will be one of the cards that keeps, you know, Buzzwole, like, seeing some play. But, like, off the top of my head, this card seems amazing, mainly because of the presence of Tapu Koko GX. So, like, what I'm seeing is that you have this charged up energy on this Pokemon, and then it's down to like 70 HP from a powerful GX attack or something.
Oh,
and
I see
so
what
you
you're
put
saying.
Down your Tapu Koko, transfer the energy over, then Acerola it back to your hand. I'm thinking what we're going to see are a lot more sort of like Acerola is going to become a really, really important card if these tag team GX cards take off, because you really can't risk losing, you know, three prize cards.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. If it was still in rotation, Ninja Boy was also something that Tag Team GX could have used, but that thing's been rotated out. So you could use it and expand it. So there you go. So we're going to move on to the news here. Let's go on to the next set, and it's more based on our meta. So Sublime, take it away.
I don't even know that this counts as news, you guys, but basically... the TCG is continuing to use the Sun and Moon TCG series in its like set names. So the cards for that are going to include our tag teams will be part of Sun and Moon 9.
Yeah.
And the only reason this is even noteworthy is because there were some people that thought it was going to change because of Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
Mm-hmm.
So take that as you will. They did not choose to change the rest of Pokemon just for that.
Yeah, TCG is kind of notorious to follow the thread of the video game. So even when it's remakes, for example, like when we had the Alpha Sapphire remakes, when we had the Golden and Sapphire, Golden and Silver reboots, the TCG follow along those lines with the same theme. This time, of course, it's not always the case. First of all, and second of all, it's not the case this time also. So this is to crunch any hopes of you guys, any Gen 1ers had out there that we might be going back to Gen 1 with the TCG with the release of Let's Go. That's not going to be the case. Sorry.
They did that with Generations semi-recently.
That is true. Yeah, exactly. And and hope never TCG, to have to go through that again.
Yeah, they jump around generations anyway. Like, they had that whole Gen 4 fling, and with Celestial Storm, we saw a lot of Gen 3 themes.
Yeah, they took that into this year's, you're totally right, into this year's tournament where we saw some sets that were dedicated to, like, not like in-your-face dedicated, but they featured a lot of Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3, up to all the way up to Gen 4 for now, themes to them. So I assume they're going to continue that trend going on 2019 as well. Now, we're going to move on to our last piece of news before we hit the topics, and that is Worlds 2019. Where is it? Where it has been? Scrawn, take it away, my man.
We got it in Washington, D.C. this year, 2019, Washington, D.C. So for those of you who are not familiar, that is the capital of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in Washington, for those of you who don't
know. Yeah, it's not in Washington State, actually.
It's very far away.
It's, in fact, in the other side of the country.
So... we typically do have the Worlds in the United States. Typically, it's on the coast, or it's been in Hawaii a few times. And one time it was in Canada, but...
not one time, but it was also, like, right on the border.
In Vancouver, Canada. Which is basically United States 2.0. Sorry, 10 Little Men and Grimmscore.
Yeah, this is nothing new here. They're doing something they know that works, and... mm-hmm. Like, the only thing group it's really inconvenient for would, well, basically be the Australians and Japanese who have to fly all the way across the U.S. to get there. But other than that, I think it'll be easier for the Europeans and such.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So that's it for the news, guys. We do have a little bit of in-house news, and that is speaking of Grimmscore, we had a little competition going on since last episode where we were asked you guys' prediction, who would win 2000 18 Worlds Tournament, the winning deck, which we're going to talk about in Topical Beach. And you guys, a few of them, a lot more than I thought, sent over your predictions. I really thank you for that. That's pretty heartwarming and exciting. However, the man who took the prize, that is a custom-made drawing from our resident comic book drawer artist, Basket will draw a little drawing for them. It's going to be signed by me and Basket and sent to you. It's Grimmscore. So congratulations. You guessed 100% correctly in that Sotowar Garbodor was going to be the winning deck of Worlds. And as we already, we all saw live on stream, that's exactly the deck that took the prize that day. So congratulations, Grimmscore. You took one for your team.
I was close.
It was pretty close. I was rooting for Malamar. But I'm really happy that Pablo won, actually. So his speech was really heartwarming, but we'll get to that on the Topical Beach.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. Speaking of Topical Beach, let's go ahead and, guys, grab your towels, grab your sandals, because we're headed to Topical Beach to talk about Worlds, the first tournament of the season after Worlds in Melbourne, and what do we expect from season 2019. We'll be right back.
Grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
And we are back, feeling the sun in our face, the sand under our feet, and the wind in our eyes. I'm pretty sure I said that incorrectly, but it doesn't matter. It's Tropical Beach where we're going to discuss this week's topic, and of course we cannot move on to anything else without discussing the grand Pokemon World Tournament that happened a week ago, 2 weeks ago actually. So let's just dive right in. We had our World Championships this August 25th weekend, and it was pretty exciting. We had a lot of great decks in there. Obviously, we already knew most of them coming in. That was, of course, Zoroark, anything related to Zoroark. We had anything related to Buzzwole, although in a surprise twist, Buzzwole did not make it. Not even in, I think only one Buzzwole. Yes, one Buzzwole made it to the top eight, which made me really, really happy. Zoroark was there. A few surprises. We had obviously the Rayquaza deck that we all knew that was going to make it wasn't really a surprise, but it really made an impact. So we saw Rayquaza on the top eight. And we also saw Zygarde Lycanroc, which for me was quite a surprise that Zygarde actually made it. Not only top eight, he ended up being third place. So that's definitely noteworthy. But there's two decks that made it to the very end. And those were the ones that were piloted by Robin Schultz and Jeff Kolink. Now, let's start with the Jeff Kolink deck. Jeff Kolink piloted the Malamar Psychic deck, which is an interesting one. I'm going to just say it right here real quick. It was basically composed of Malamar, Marshadow, Dungwing Necrozma. We had some Necrozmas and some Mewtwo GXs and Lunala Prism Star also, which is also a surprise. That was one of the least used Prism Stars. It was good to see it in the finals. And Mimikyu! I was so happy to see Mimikyu there. Of course, Mimikyu was there because of its copycat attack. If your opponent Pokemon used an attack that isn't a GX attack during their last turn, use it as is this attack. So it was a great revenge killer if need be. That was our second place. Any opinions on this deck, Sublime?
I think it has a lot of techs, and it's very adaptable thanks to that Marshadow GX, which gives it the advantage on all the Zoroarks, in spite of being a mostly psychic-heavy deck. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really good idea.
Yeah.
On this deck, I'd say that it's really such an ability heavy deck that you got the invasion Lunala, well not Lunala but Dawnwing Necrozma.
Yeah,
and
I made
Melmar.
The same mistake, don't worry.
I'm surprised that it did so well with all the Garbodors running around. Like, this deck would have had to have been really fast, mm-hmm. and hard hitting,
and that's exactly what it was. It was pretty fast. It had a lot of counters for things like already Sublime mentioned. You know, it had the Marshadow GX there to defend yourself against other against Zoroark. It also had that Mimikyu, which could help, although the rest of the deck is also psychic. But Mimikyu was there also to deal with Buswold if need be. It also contained a promo Giratina. This is the Devour Light Giratina that basically negates all break abilities. So it also defended itself against Greninja Break. So it was pretty well around. Not to mention, and I feel that it will be remiss if we do not talk about this, Jeff Kolek is a competitor from Canada, and he had absolutely nothing in his history. He had not won anything. He had not gone to any finals, yet the man piloted this deck all the way up to second place in the world's tournament. This guy is a star in the making. He definitely showed everyone that you don't need to win every single tournament to make it to the top. It was really funny because when they compared Robin Schultz and Jeff history, you had Robin Schultz and he was 2016, European international champion, blah, 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 and all these awesome, things in his history. And then when we went to Jeff, Jeff had nothing. It was blank. The man had not won anything, yet he made it all the way up to the top. So congrats to Jeff. Amazing display and amazing game, really. Now, we're going to move on to the winner, though. That winner is Robin Schultz. Robin from Germany brought in none other than Grimmscore's guest, Sodor Garborder. Now, Sodor Garborder is pretty legit. Skron, you want to read over that one?
Yeah, it runs pretty much everything that's broken. you got four Zoroarks. You're running just three Garbodors. It looks like one's different from the other.
Yeah, one is the Garbotoxin one, which is the one you mentioned that blocks.
Which is what won him the game. Right.
Yes, yeah, which is what won him the game. Much. And then you have the Trashalange Garborder, which is the one that does 20 times the amount of item cards in your opponent's discard pile. Those are the two different Garborders. Let me say, as a parenthesis here, it's pretty unjust how well the TCG has treated Garborder. Every single Garborder card has been revealed has been, well, mostly, has been really good. So,
I think it's the Pokemon Company trolling us.
Yeah. It really is. Continue on.
You all have to deal with this for another year. Make Garbodor broken.
So it also contained three Tapu Leles and one Kartana. Kartana GX, of course, being the one that when you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may discard special energy from one of your opponent. It's also a great way to just trample upon your opponent. So basically what Robin did with this deck is what Sodorak is meant to do. Sodorak would immediately set up as fast as it can. Using, with Brigad, it had three Brigads for the sole purpose of bringing your Sodor and your Trubbish onto your play as soon as possible. Use Sodorak's trade ability to draw upon everything you need as fast as you can, and once you set up by turn three, you drop that Garbodor, and completely negate everyone's ability. So you're all set up, and your opponent, if you're lucky, your opponent is still midway setting up, and you putting him in a disadvantage. And we have to say, it worked. We have a magnificent play throughout them, but at the end of the day, it was Garbotoxin. It was Sodorak speed that won at the end of the day that got us the champion, Robin, with his Sodorak Garbodor. Any comments on these decks? So with you this time, Skron.
I really, really hate Parallel City, and I'm so glad it's going. That's all I can say.
Yeah, Parallel City is quite the hassle. What about you, Sublime?
I'm just so glad that we can put this to bed and acknowledge that Mysterious Treasure is a world championship card. I think that qualifies as super effective, Jashiro.
You think?
I'm just saying. Like Talonflame in the past.
Mysterious Treasure.
Can we please save the salt for dinner?
Mysterious Treasure is the Talonflame of this generation. Yes, I have to admit, we haven't had the Where We Were Wrong episode yet, and that's actually coming soon since we hit rotation. Definitely Mysterious Treasure did surprise me, and I underestimated the usefulness of it.
The way things are gearing up now, it's looking like you're going to have to do the same thing with Shiftry GX.
I think I gave Shiftry a decent review, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't remember. So I might actually have given a not very effective. But we'll see.
Actually, I think you're right. I think it was Gator who was saying,
I think it was Gator who was saying, trash. Yeah, this is crap. Yeah, yeah. No, I gave it a fair review. I said, I think this is going to be good if it lands more support. Anyway, so this is basically the Worlds Tournament and the results. Any takings from this, guys? Anything that you took from this that you were most excited about in the Worlds Tournament? What was it? Sublime, let's start with you.
I think it was really great to see Marshadow be successful, because I remember when it came out and people were like, but it's not great right now. And I'm like, but it's gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
And it is great now. So I feel like it's finally had its moment. Its moment has arrived.
Yep.
Finally.
It really did. What about you, Scrawn? Any last takes?
I'm scared about what's going to happen in the new meta. I think people are going to flock to these like super powerful GX decks that are tried and true. Yeah. And then there's always going to be that one guy at like your local game store who decides to bring the normal Hoopa that's just immune to everything.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, you can't do anything to me. You know? So I'm kind of apprehensive about what's in the future. I don't really like cards that shut down an opponent from playing at all. I thought that the results of this were not too exciting. I wish Galissapod had done better, because that's what I ran. But it was in the eighth position, so that's cool. Yeah,
Galissapod did make a showcase. It did show in top eight, obviously, but it was paired with the great Sotorike, so it had a little push to get up there. Yeah. But speaking of future, Scrawn, thank you for bringing that up, because the future is now. Because we already
thanks
had our
to science.
Yeah. Oh my god. Because we've already had our first season 2019 tournament in Melbourne in New Zealand, where we finally see our first rotating our first tournament after rotation, and this results were actually quite surprising, honestly. But we're gonna, there's a lot of decks in, but we're gonna, since there's so much to talk about, let's talk about the main two that won, that were the end of the, by the end of the tournament. And that is interesting. Duskmane Necrozma Magnezone and Rayquaza Vikabolt. Now, Rayquaza Vikabolt, I did see coming a mile away. In fact, when we were reviewing the cards, I believe I said that much that I see it being paired up with Vikabolt. Now, Duskmane Necrozma and Magnezone is an interesting one, so let's go ahead and tackle that one real quick. Sylvan, you want to read through that one?
Yeah, one moment. I don't think I have that up.
Well, while he's getting that up, let me just say that based on these electric types, these results are pretty shocking.
Ooh. Yes, these punts are coming at lightning speed.
Oh, no. We better Volt switch things up.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Vikavolt is purely support, right?
Yeah. Well, we're doing the Duskmane Necrozma GX and Magnezone one first.
Let's see. Okay. I think that one's steel based, isn't it?
It is.
So it's so funny because we keep waiting for electric to have a moment to shine, and we're still waiting.
Well, yeah, we are. We are kind of waiting. But they are showing up more and more, though. So there's that.
There were those, a lot of Raichu and Tapu Koko decks were being run, from what I had been seeing.
Yeah. You got it, Sublime?
Yeah, now I have it.
Okay.
I'm not, like, it's a deck that you knew was going to exist, you know?
The Necrozma Magnezone? That took me by surprise.
I don't think. Why? It's steel support with the steel attacker that discards energy. I feel like
this is one of the most
obvious decks you could think of if you were trying to make a steel deck.
That's true. So going through this one, Duskmane Necrozma GX is the main attacker. It has three in the deck. And then you have the Magnemite, Magnezone combo, which is interesting that he doesn't play any Magnetons. This goes straight from Magnemite to Magnezone. And Magnezone, for those of you at home do not remember, it's the stage two steel or metal, in case this is the TCG, not the video game, metal version that has magnetic circuit. Now, as often as you like, during your turn, you may attach as many metal cards from your hand to your Pokemon in your bench. This is combined with Stakataka, which is the steel beast that grants Ultra Ball, Ultra Wall, which basically provides 10 less damage to your opponent's attack. And then it's combined with Ribbony. Now Ribbony has Honey Gatter. Once you're doing your turn, you may search your deck for up to two basic energy cards, reveal them, and put them into your hand. So you got Honey Gatherer, he brings in the honey, and then Magnezone makes sure that you place that honey onto your active Pokemon or your bench, whichever you like, and then Dusknoir Necrozmat is in charge of dealing that honey straight to your opponent. So it's an interesting set. It's a very, very, very well-oiled machine. I like it. What about you, Scrawn?
This is a deck I would run. Changes I would make, I'd probably put at least one Magneton in. I don't like the idea of having to run that rare candy engine because it's just my style. But I do see that this would work. It's straight to the point. It's very simple about what it needs to do. It's probably a really good deck to build if you aren't really sure how to play competitive Pokemon that well. It seems simple, honestly. So I'd recommend this to people wanting to get into the game.
Nice. What about you, Sublime?
I'd recommend it to people wanting to get into the game with a lot of money.
Well, that's true.
That, yeah. These Rayquazas?
That's for any
I'm sorry, not the
Rayquazas.
Yeah, no, those Tapu Leles, the good news is, and I think this is not something we actually discussed in the TCG cast, because it was in, the news came out in the midst that we were reviewing Celestial Storm, but we are getting a box, a Tapu box, which includes Tapu Lele GX alongside Tapu Fini, if I'm not mistaken. It's a combo box that contains both of them. It's the first time that Pokemon finally releases the most expensive card in the game in a box. So it's a huge financial relief for many of us, because once Tapu Lele is available in a box, it means its price will go down drastically, because it's easier to acquire than just having to open 1,000 boosters to get it. So that's the good news heading to 2019, that Tapu Lele is going to be more accessible. Now, there is still a question of whether or not it will still be relevant, which we'll probably cover in a different TCG cast, because so many things have been rotated out and so many things are coming in that some are saying that Tapu Lele might actually be left in 2018 for none other reasons that it might not be as useful as we think it might be coming into 2019. But that is a story for another day. We're going to move on to the next deck that won in the Melbourne tournament, and that is the Rayquaza Vikabolt deck. Rayquaza Vikabolt deck is a pretty straightforward one. Scrawn, you want to go over that one?
Well, we're running Rayquazas, Vikabolts, Tapu Leles, and a Marshadow.
That's basically it.
Simple, yep. Yet efficient. Now, Rayquaza GX, we talked about this one a lot in our review episode, because it's, as Gator said, the best card that came in Celestial Storm. This is the Rayquaza GX that has 180 HP. It's Dragon, and it has the ability Stormy Winds, which Stormy in this day and age is always an interesting name. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may discard top three cards of your deck. If you do so, attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to this Pokemon, so you can power itself. This is, of course, really good because it's not discard the top three cards, and if you find an energy, attach it. No, this is discard the three top card, and if you have a basic energy on your discard pile in general, you can grab it and power it up this Pokemon. Dragon Break, its attack, it's one grass, one lightning, and one colorless. Dragon Break, 30 times. This attack does 30 damage times the amount of basic grass and basic lightning energies attached to your Pokemon. You can already see where Vikabolt is coming in here. It's attack, it's GX attack, Tempest GX. For one grass, discard your hand and draw 10 new cards. Which, obviously, this is the least reason why you want to play Rayquaza is for that GX attack. And then Vikavolt, to just circle this around, has the strong charge, as mentioned, that you can search your deck for one grass, one lightning energy, and put him in your Pokemon any way you like. This, in combination to Rayquaza, will guarantee Rayquaza will be powered up and will have enough damage to deal across the board. Very simple. Your opinions. Goron, let's start with you.
Like, this deck, at its fundamental level, seems basically the same as the Duskmane Necrozma deck we just saw. It's all about energy acceleration. It has the 3-3 of the acceleration line that it's looking for. I think that this deck is better because it doesn't have to waste space on the Stakataka, the Extra Tapu Lele, and the Ribombee line. So it has more potential to add in trainers, and it's running, it looks like, four more energy, or three more energy.
Yeah, this is real big in energy,
so,
this deck.
Like, the Duskmane Necrozma deck looks a little bit more defensive, like, and I think it's meant to deal with this deck in particular because of that defensive edge. It might be a little bit faster because of the unlimited attaching element. Mm-hmm. However, I think this deck is better, and it's very clear in the results, considering they're, like, what, up two of the top eight.
This one won. Yeah, we saw this deck twice in the top eight, and it got first and third place in this tournament in Marborn. So now, like we mentioned, this is the first deck in the 2019 rotation. So this means, what are we not seeing in this deck? This is the first time we see no ends, no Sycamores. Available, no float stones available in this tournament. None of those goodies, no brigettes either. So that fast, searching does not work here. So because of that, there's a few cards I want to say here that are surprisingly making lists that otherwise wouldn't have. Let's start with Volkner here in the deck for Rayquaza GX. Search your deck for an item card and a lightning, reveal them and put it into your hand. Never been played that much until now because all these rotated cards are out. We also have back from the dead Pokemon Fan Club once again into the rotation because honestly we have nothing better to play right now. Other than that, what else do we see? We see a switch being used more. Now we have switch being around because obviously Floatstone is no longer a thing. And with switch also comes in Escape Rope, which is another card that is coming back because we don't have much other things to play with as we used to. In the other deck, in Duskmane Necrozma, we see a Fisherman coming back up and a Judge, which are great cards to see again. And then, surprisingly, Steven's Resolve, which is search your deck for up to three cards and put them into your hand. Then shuffle your deck and your turn ends after that. So that's fantastic. And what else do you see in this deck? I think that's basically those are the surprising inclusion because of the rotation. So that was a lot of fun, guys. We closed 2018. We opened up 2019. There's a lot of possibilities. We have so many cards being kicked out, including some of them were banned. So comes the next question for you guys. This is all you. What are your expectations, your wish list, and what you want to see from the 2019 season? Let's start with you, Sublime. What do you think?
I want super fast games so that people can play more games with their tag team GXs.
Nice. That's a good thing to see for sure. What about you?
I'd say I like variety in the metagame. So introducing cards that don't necessarily specifically, you know, counter other strategies, so we get like this triangle effect going on, but rather introducing cards that are just as good in like a slightly different way to the metagame in different types using Pokemon that we don't see a whole lot would be really cool. I'm all about that flavor.
You're aiming high, my friend. You're aiming high, and I love that. we all know that balancing has never been Pokemon or any TCG, honestly, strong point. But maybe that's per design. I don't know. I do like where we're headed. If this is the rotation that everybody was expecting to happen last year. Because with the introduction of GX, everyone was like, oh, maybe they're eliminating EXs. So everybody thought that the whole thing was going to go away, the whole EXs. But this is going to be officially now no EXs in standard whatsoever. This is the new Sun and Moon rotation where it's just Gen 7 and forward. It's exciting. The speed is, like Sublime says, the speed kind of worries me. I do not want to fall into the early, into what happened when EXs were, right? When they were revealed. Although, I don't know what I'm talking about. GXs have been played basically the same level as EX were. So, it's all the same at the end. But we are seeing lots of non-GXs, non-EXs that are pretty powerful. These baby forms, like Baby Buzzwole and all these baby forms of the GX are still really powerful and are still making their runs. And we're seeing them being played. So it is still very, very exciting. Now, that's it. This is the end of our topic. We'll beat you. We're going to move on to the emails, which is going to be real quick. We only have one this time around. And then we're going to finish off with Pokemon 15 questions, which is everyone's favorite. So we're going to go ahead and move on to Trainer's Mail. We'll be right back.
Hey, Puckalonians, it's Sublime Manic. Can't get enough of your favorite flip-flopping podcast? Then check out our social media. You can find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube all from our website, PuckalPodcast.com. And you can join our Discord to hang out with your favorite hosts and other Puckalonians. Also, check us out at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, consider subscribing to our Twitch channel. You can also check us out at YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. And we also have a Patreon if you're able to give anything at patreon.com/pucklepodcast.
And we are back in Trainer's Mail, and we have one email here from our boy, The Real EV. Take it away, Scrawn.
I think it's worth noting that we had, what was it, like, a whole bunch of emails, but, like, yes. A lot of them were one-liners.
Yeah, because, we did have a lot of emails come in, and yes, but most of you just send one line saying, oh, my prediction for the world is this deck. So none of it, obviously, we can't really read on here online, but we still appreciate those emails. The Really V here was the only one that actually made a paragraph out of it.
Yeah, all right, so here we go. What's up, amazing TCG crew? It's been a minute since I wrote in, so I thought I'd give my predictions on Worlds. I'm going to go for the long shot. And aside here, it's a long shot.
It's a really long shot.
I'm going to say Ho-Oh GX wins Worlds. Well, that's it. No deck for DOTE. Haven't been playing a lot lately. And I kind of been hanging out back in the community. Nice. But don't worry, people. I'm still here bringing the news and still theory crafting really bad decks. LOL. Have fun. And LJ, make sure you got a topic for the next mailbag.
Yes, sir.
Can I suggest one? What ridiculous Pokemon deserves a GX or Prism Star?
I like this.
And or tag team. That should be the question. Oh. What two Pokemon do you want to see as a tag team together?
Eevee and Reshiram.
Who? Eevee and Reshiram? That's actually really good, Scrawn and Sublime. Sublime, you just pumped the steroids on the question, and Scrawn, you gave a really good answer. Let's make that the question. What tag teams are you expecting to see here? Let me see. I want to say, Mew Mewtwo. It's going to be mine. I want a Mew and Mewtwo tag team card. So let it make it happen, Pokemon. Make it happen. What about you, Sublime?
I want to see something, because they're combining something really strong with something really weak. I don't think you have to do that. So let's do, I don't know, something that's like medium with something medium. How about, I want to see starters mix. Let's have Blastoise, Delphox or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those weird combination of starters we've never seen before. That might be actually a great thing.
Yeah, make them different types too. Let's just throw people off. Because you know how they have those cards that can be, like the Magnezone, that can be either type?
Yeah, yeah.
Give me that with a tag team of two different types.
Or make it like Volcanions that are two types in one card. Like Volcanion was fire or water, you can make a tag team being dual type card.
That would be great.
If they put Farfetch'd as like the weaker part of any tag team, I'm pretty sure I would dump my savings into making that deck. Like Farfetch'd Excavalier or something.
No.
Like Night Theme.
Farfetch'd Rayquaza.
Farfetch'd Dust. What's it?
Farfetch'd
Dunsparce. Farfetch'd Dunsparce.
Oh. Just make it really bad.
Yeah. It's like HP 70.
I'll end up with Shamu showing us stacks and stacks of this far-fetched Dunsparce Tag Team GX collection.
That will be fantastic. So there you have it, guys. This is the question for next episode. What tag teams are you expecting to see? Or not expecting, your wish list you want.
Yes.
And if you can add maybe an attack or two to pretty it up and give us a good card, that will be super fantastic. We'll read it here on the episode, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, speaking of fun, we've reached the end of the episode, which you all guys know what that means. It's everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions, where we try to stump our co-hosts into figuring out what Pokemon I'm thinking about. So, we'll be right back.
Who's that Pokemon?
And we are back to everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions, where we try to stump our co-hosts. Now, as you guys know, the rules are pretty simple. Lower your browsers. No internet. No Pokedexes. No games. You can't use anything but your own noggin to figure out this. But there's also certain rules that are not allowed. You cannot ask anything Pokedex-oriented, as in no numbers. You cannot ask outside game questions like, is this Pokemon appears in Heart Gold or Heart Sword Silver, such as that. No, it has to be in-game questions only. One of your questions has to be the answer. That means that you have 15 questions, but in reality, you have 14, because the last one has to be to guess what's that Pokemon, and you only get one try. This is not like Game Corners, is that a boy or a girl, where you can keep saying names. No, no. If you say it and you're wrong, even if you have questions left, you lose the game. Now, boys, are you ready?
Yes.
The orders are going to be simple, starting with Sublime, then Scrawn, going back to Sublime. So, Sublime, who's that Pokemon?
All right. Is this Pokemon part of an evolution line?
No. Go for Scrawn.
All right, Sublime, I'm putting my money on the table. I know what it is. Okay, just messing around. Sublime has a heart attack. Anyway, let's see. Does this Pokemon have... Well, I'm going to just ask. Is this Pokemon monotype?
It is. Go for
monotype.
Sublime.
Monotype? I was going to ask the reverse of that, as if it was dual type. Is this Pokemon weak to fighting type attacks?
It is. No, wait.
Okay.
No, it's not. Sorry.
Not weak to fighting types. See, that gets rid of all the normal types. That's why I asked fighting.
Go for Sean.
Not weak to fighting. Okay. Is this Pokemon resistant to fighting?
You want to rest that? No, it's not resistant.
Okay, let me keep track of what types we're down to. Not resistant. Okay, so not weak to means it can't be normal, steel, rock, ice, or there's a fifth. I think. I'm pretty sure fighting's effective against five types, or is it just
normal,
four?
Steel, rock, normal.
Ice.
Wait, ice, yeah. I think it's just those.
Okay, well, that's a good list. And then resistant.
Oh, dark.
Dark, that's what it was. There were five. And then the resistance means it can't be psychic or flying, although it wasn't going to be flying unless it was tornadoes. Poison resists fighting, right?
Bug too, right?
And bug.
And fairy.
And fairy, yeah. Okay, that's a lot of types down for just one type.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, so what does that give us left? We have water. We have the elemental types, basically.
Yeah, elementals, yeah.
let's see.
Also ground, dragon.
Ground, dragon, ghost, because we technically didn't ask if it was immune, which is...
technically the best kind of correct.
Yes. I mean, yeah, that's there. All right, so let's... is this Pokemon weak to grass... The grass type.
No.
Okay, so it's not water. That was my other concern, is because there's so many water.
Not
and
water,
it's not ground. Not.
Okay. Woo! All right, so that actually puts us with the starter versus, like, electric. And what are the other types we have available?
Grass, fire, dragon, ghost.
Okay, so we can do a 50-50 split here. No, we can't, actually.
We
can do
40... might be forgetting a type, but we have most of the types listed.
Yeah. Okay. Does this Pokemon share a type, or is this Pokemon's type one of the types that are had by the Johto starters given out by Professor Elm?
No.
So okay. Not fire or grass. Electric, dragon, ghost.
How many questions do we have?
You have 7 questions in. This is going to be your 8th question. So you're doing pretty really good.
Fine. I think you're doing good. Okay. Narrowing it down.
All right.
No
evolutionary line, and it's a monotype. So yeah, like there aren't so too many monotype dragons. There's like Dredigon.
And the Haxorus line, which is not a mono. So yeah, there you go.
Electric.
There's quite a few electrics. There's all the rodents, right? You have Pachirisu, etc.
They need to have all. One type.
Pachirisu, Minun, Plusle.
Yeah, that's true.
I
think we should ask if it's electric because there's so many possibilities.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, let's ask if is this an electric type Pokemon?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's think of electric type non-evolving. Oh, there's some new evolutions that fit that bill too. If we're counting that.
Oh wait, didn't we ask if this Pokemon evolves or not?
You're right, and it doesn't, which is why there are some a legendary Pokemon that can't. What's that ugly one? Zeraora.
Yeah, Zeraora.
You have Raikou. Awesome. You have
Raikou.
Beast.
Pachirisu.
What's that Christmas tree one? Zirkatree.
Yeah.
You've got Pachirisu, Minun, Plusle.
You could ask if it's a legendary or Ultra Beast.
Or Ultra Beast. I think that's what I was going to ask next. Yeah. Is this Pokemon either a legendary, mythical, or Ultra Beast Pokemon?
None of the above. No.
Okay.
Not a legendary.
My question is this. Would you describe this Pokemon as rodent-like?
Yes. Now, this is question number 10, guys. You're five
We're
questions
doing
away.
Fine.
You're doing more than fine.
So we got Pachirisu, Minun, Plusle. What's the Gen 7?
I think the rest, Gen 7 was the Togedemaru.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Gen 6 was Fairy, Gen 5 was Flying. So I think those are the only ones, actually, that I can think of. Because Gen 2 added Pichu, like, that counts.
Well, maybe it's like Jolteon or something.
But that's part of an evolution line.
Oh, that's true. Mm.
Okay, Oh, how about this? Is this a Pokemon that Dawn has caught on her team?
Oh, I hate you. Give me a second.
Which is to say, is it Pachirisu without asking if it's Pachirisu?
Okay, then no.
I'll save you the time.
Thank you. That'll be a no. Question 12, Strawn. I never saw that. I know a lot about season 1 and 2 up to Silver and Gold, and then Sun and Moon onwards. I'm really hazy in between the anime.
All the good parts.
Okay, so let's see.
Are we forgetting a rodent besides Plusle and Minun?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. Maybe.
I don't think there are any more.
Nah. So
ask if this has a plus sign on it.
Would you say that this Pokemon has a positive disposition?
I would say no.
Would you say this Pokemon has a negative, minus-like disposition?
I would say yes.
Oh my God.
Well, that's the last question. It's all yours, Kron.
All right.
Who's that Pokemon?
Ooh, it's all come down to this moment.
technically, you still have two questions left, but yeah, sure.
Is it Minum?
It is Minum.
No, it's yours then.
Congratulations. Now, I have two notes. One is a fun one, and one is watch out. The watch out first is, like, watch out what questions, like, does this Pokemon evolve? Because if it's a stage one or stage two that doesn't evolve, I will say yes. Like, it doesn't evolve. So it could have been Jolteon per the questions you guys okay. made.
So we need to frame it as, is this Pokemon part of an evolution?
Correct. Yes. That's the best way to frame it, because if it's the last part of an evolution, I will tell you no, it doesn't evolve, because it doesn't evolve past that. The fun one is, I actually let the answer of the type go by the third questions, but you didn't notice, and it was when I made the mistake. When you guys ask, is this weak to fighting? I said yes, because my mind went to lightning from the TCG. And I'm like, no, it's no, because it's the video game, so it's not weak to fighting.
Well, I just assumed you don't know your type chart.
Oh, thank you, Sublime. Ooh. I love how much faith you have in me. I'm like, damn it!
This is very different.
I might have given away, but you guys didn't catch it. So I'm like, oh,
water
okay,
types great. That are technically weak to fighting.
Yeah, because their ice is just
water weak to steel, which makes no sense, right? So
yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that is the end of the episode, and like always, guys, I thank you for listening in and enjoying our podcast. If you like what we do here, there's so much Puckle to go around. Go to our Twitter account at Puckle Podcast. Go over to our Facebook group. We have two, actually, our Puckle Podcast group, the Puckle Podcast, which is our main Facebook group for Puckle. And then you have the Puckle TCG, where the Really V and Gator basically post every news and comments and sections. It's a lot of fun to read through. And obviously, you can post your anecdotes and your deck lists and everything you like. But we also please go to our twitch.tv channel. I am there every single week, sometimes, for sure one time, sometimes two, participating. Go watch me. It's a lot of fun. I love spending time with you guys. Patch also runs there, and it's doing a fantastic job at the VGC side. So it's all fun since Twitch. And if you can, and if you have the extra penny, please go ahead and donate at our Patreon. Every single cent you pour into Puckle goes straight back to you guys, because that's why we participate. We make things happen, such as the PuckleCon, such as all the equipment we use to record and make the quality of the shows better and better for each passing day. There's still a long ways to go with the quality, but we're heading in the right direction, slowly but surely. And things like, for example, Basket and my 6-hour stream for the Worlds, which was a lot of fun for those of you who joined us there. Thank you for joining. It was a lot of fun to see Worlds with you guys. And you guys see my reaction. I was basically being the South American soccer commentator, but for Pokemon. I was like, oh, Thundershock! It was a lot of exciting. And last but certainly not least, if you guys are thirsty for any discussions, Pokemon-oriented, any time of day, 24 hours a day, you have to join our Discord, which the link is always in our description for every single episode. Join our Discord there. You will find someone to trade, battle at any point. People from across the world, from US to Europe to Asia, everyone's there in the Discord. So please go ahead and join in. Not to mention that you get to participate as well in all our tournaments and everything. All of our announcements for tournaments are through Discord. So really, really, even if you guys don't want to talk or chat that much, it's good for you to just be in the Discord so you can be at least up to date on everything that is happening in Puckle. So with that, I want to thank Sublime. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
As always, thank you for having me, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure. This is always the highlight of my week. And Ascaron, so glad to have you back, my boy.
Yeet.
Awesome. And with that, you guys already hear the guitar playing, the sweet, sweet bow guitar playing in the background, because it's closing time. Until next time, guys, keep on Puckaloo.
Time. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.